Today I'm joined by Jason Burmis, a researcher and documentary filmmaker who helped create Loose Change, the most downloaded film in internet history. His latest documentary, Fabled Enemies, can be purchased on DVD at Infowars.com or downloaded in high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv. Jason Burmis, thank you for joining me today on The Corbett Report.
Well, thanks for having me, James.
No problem. Jason, for those of my listeners out there who may not have heard of you before, could you introduce yourself and talk a little bit about how you became a documentary filmmaker?
Sure. I'm just really a regular guy that found out some information, got concerned, got a little bit of opportunity, and turned that into creating documentary films that apparently a lot of people watch online. Basically, I'm from New York. I had not been really politically active. I went to college to be a graphic designer. When 9/11 happened, I pretty much, went along with the official version. Initially, I had a couple of questions, but nothing really stuck with me. It wasn't until about 6 months later, when we were talking about war with Iraq, that I started to see things and start to think a little bit more critically. And I had somewhat of an awakening. And when I had that awakening, I started, looking into this stuff, and I couldn't believe what I was finding. So, while I was working just regular jobs as a pizza guy on a bar strip and doing graphic design, I was literally burning discs for people, handing them, out Alex Jones's movies, news feeds that I had downloaded. And through that, I actually met Corey and Dylan. After the release of the first Loose Change, which was essentially done by Dylan Avery himself, Corey was really in the military while that was going on. He was in Iraq, and I believe he was in Afghanistan while he was making it as well. They had shot some things together, but it wasn't quite what it was back when Corey and Dylan were talking. So Dylan puts out this documentary, and it has a little bit of a buzz. I meet these guys, and together the three of us put out Loose Change Second Edition. And I continue to make documentary films. I produced Loose Change Final Cut, which is a much different film than the second edition. And I just wrote and directed Fabled Enemies, which deals with more of the intelligence ties rather than the physical anomalies we deal with in Loose Change.
Well, as I mentioned before, Loose Change is the most downloaded film in internet history, having been viewed tens of millions of times conservatively. And it's been cited in numerous mainstream media reports, and it's now almost impossible to talk about alternative theories of 9/11 without either citing or trying to refute Loose Change. How do you account for that documentary's incredible impact?
Well, I think it was the first documentary of its kind with any kind of a real production value behind it. I mean, I love Alex Jones's pictures, but their early production value wasn't quite what Loose Change was. On top of that, Jones does tend to put himself in his movies, and some people are turned off by that the same way that they're turned off by Michael Moore and his documentary films, or Morgan Spurlock and his documentary films. So I think the styling, the fact that it reached out to a youth-based audience, and really it had not been discussed in a wide forum before. It was really relegated to just the web and, a few people chattering at a bar or, at a restaurant. But this movie exploded. I mean, when people saw it, they were shocked. It was well put together. It had a good backbeat to it. And like I said, it was the first time people were seeing this. So it was really the introduction of Google Video as well. I mean, YouTube had been around for a little bit, but not that long. I mean, I remember back in the day when we were still uploading WMV files, and torrents had just started to break out. I mean, peer-to-peer networking was kind of dying. Google Video and YouTube showed up. And Google Video, instead of having to put it into pieces or get a director's account, allowed you to put up a video that was, up to 4 hours long. So I think that this enormously. This is before they actually got hip to the fact that this is how we were going to get popular. So we weren't being as censored as much. We were at the top of these charts. We were impossible to ignore. I mean, they had to give us our heyday, I guess, just because, we were this underground phenomenon. And, I like to cite how they've kind of squelched that. I mean, my movie, Fabled Enemies, I think the first day it was released, it was number two in the world. Second day it was released, it was number one in the world. And then all of a sudden my comments were frozen, my views were frozen, I was off the top 100. And it kind of just fell off the radar for a while, and I've survived. I mean, you look at Randy Pausch, and this is the last lecturer guy. I mean, this guy, he wasn't half as the internet phenomenon that we were, and he was on 60 Minutes, he was on 2020. There were books launched, this guy's family made a bunch of money off of what he did. And unfortunately, he died. But it just shows you how much the internet has changed things and how much they have to go out of their way to almost ignore us and our information or try to refute us. And when they try to refute us, I don't feel like they come off that well. I mean, if you look at that debate I did now over 2 years ago with Popular Mechanics, and remember back in the day, the Popular Mechanics people were where all the debunkers pointed to, and they said, oh, all your stuff was disproven by Popular Mechanics. Well, I ate those guys up in about a 45-minute interview, and they refused to ever debate us again. I mean, they had offers to debate us on The View, which was a national television show. They declined. National radio shows all over the country, they declined. So, you know, if that doesn't prove I put a spanking on those guys, I don't know what will.
Yes, that was an excellent interview you did there, and I suggest my listeners go check it out. But let's talk about your latest work. Tell the listeners about Fabled Enemies.
Sure. You know, our previous works really dealt with the controlled demolition of the World Trade Center. It looked a lot at the Pentagon. It looked a lot at the evidence in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, pertaining to the physical anomalies of there not being United Flight 93 being there. What I wanted to do here was show people, well, there's a lot of other concerns, too. You know, there's a backstory to all this. And this was an international intelligence mission that included role players, you know, Israeli operatives, Pakistani operatives, you know, members in Saudi Arabia, as well as people within our own government who are part of the continuity of government program. Continuity of government is a really nice word for the shadow government, which was in place on the morning of 9/11 prior to the attacks through drills such as Global Guardian, which was a mass Armageddon attack. You know, I go into the fact that the drills, you know, were going on at the same exact time. There were hijacking drills. There were more hijackers that were really caught that day than the, you know, 19 that supposedly died on the flights. I get into United 23 and those quote-unquote hijackers. I really expose how this was, you know, an international op that was done through compartmentalization. And most of the players really didn't have a full spectrum picture of what was going on. But if you look at it, you can see where each had their role. In other words, when I look at the FBI and you're looking at the funding, well, the reason that Robert Wright and others were stopped and Michael Chertoff basically said, I don't want to hear your story because it's a conspiracy theory, and then he's promoted to the head of Homeland Security, is because the people that he was investigating were working with FBI informants. The same thing happened with Abel Danger. And they were actually, you know, government agents. They were probably, you know, people like Ada were probably drug runners for intelligence ops. They were running drills. If you look at the James Woods information I put in this film, you know, how is it that Ada and three of the other hijackers, supposedly hijackers on four separate planes, James Woods reveals, gets flagged by the pilot, the stewardess, and James Woods in FAA reports, and nothing is done about these guys 2 months before the attack? It's ludicrous. If somebody like that reported me or you to have suspicious behavior or look like they were going to hijack the plane, you know that some kind of government agency would follow up on that. So, you know, that's just, you know, a myriad of the things that I go through in this film. You know, I think it leaves little doubt that we've been lied to through the official account. You know, one of the other great things I love to get into is the fact that really the 9/11 Commission is nothing more than a cover-up in a comic book, and it's laughable. I mean, one of the parts I really like in the movie is when I think Thomas Keane has to admit that, you know, all these different agencies did obstruct them, and that in one of the staff statements he said it was an indictment of the FBI and other agencies. And him and Lee Hamilton, the other head of the commission, just sit there and laugh about it like it's a big joke. Well, it's not a big joke to me.
Nor is it a big joke to many of the people who lost loved ones on that day, I'm sure. Well, let's get into some of the specifics then. Let's talk a little bit more about the hijackers. You said there are some indications that Ada and others may have been involved in actual drug running. What are some of the indications that the hijackers were not who they appeared to be?
Well, I think that Muhammad Ada and the Venice Flying Circus, a documentary by Daniel Hofsicker and Sander Hicks' The Big Wedding, really go into the Florida connection very well. And they show how these guys, you know, we're living next to NSA agents. In my film, I show you how Waleed Al-Shaari and others had the CIA called on them by the neighbors. I mean, this isn't a call to the cops. This isn't even a call to the FBI. This is a call to the CIA that you think something's going wrong with the neighbors and nothing is done. So apparently these guys were protected. A lot of these guys are the same guys that were being followed by the Black Operations Program, Able Danger. They tried to bring this information to the FBI some 70-odd times prior to 9/11, and they kept getting obstructed and obfuscated, so that was never there. So somehow, it looks like these guys either were the luckiest guys in the world, which really doesn't make sense, or they were on some type of a government payroll and working with them. I mean, I have J. Michael Springman, who was the head of the Visa Department in Jeddah back in the late 80s, early 90s, discovered that that post in Jeddah was actually a CIA front in which they were funneling in Islamic terrorists working with Osama bin Laden into the United States. And lo and behold, 15 of the 19 guys they blamed came through that very same Visa Department in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. So, I mean, the connections are really there. On top of that, you look at the United 23 information I touched upon earlier. They had five gentlemen on the plane who refused to get off when the pilot became suspicious. He said, everybody off the plane. Everybody got off but them. They fought with everybody. They finally did get off the plane. They leave the airport, but they leave their baggage. Inside their bags are the same exact thing that was inside Muhammad Atta's bag that, again, lo and behold, didn't make the flight, so it didn't burn up in the World Trade Center. And it had the same things. It had identification cards. It had cockpit information. It had blueprints. It had the Quran. It had all these same things. But then the FBI turns around and says, you know, this is how we identified the 19 hijackers, but we couldn't find these five other guys. Doesn't really make sense, does it?
Certainly doesn't. What about some of the other indications that Al-Qaeda perhaps was not behind this attack?
Well, you know, another instance in this is something that's almost never touched upon, and I touched upon it briefly in my film, but the fact that these quote-unquote terrorists, the people that were doing this attack during 9/11, had all the security codes to Air Force One, military intelligence, army intelligence, the Secret Service. The list goes on. I think I named like 13 or 14 of these things in my film. But these are the very same agencies that were compromised by Comverse Infosys and what's the other one off the top of my head? I can't think. Comverse Infosys and who's the other Israeli operations companies? It'll come to me. But, I mean, this large network of Israelis are caught doing surveillance before 9/11. They're caught on 9/11 taping the first plane attack. They fail polygraph tests. Comverse Infosys and this other company, I can't believe I can't remember it off the top of my head. They basically have access to all these separate organizations. In other words, they infiltrate secret government buildings, the DOD, the SEC, just this myriad of organizations. And lo and behold, this same group is living close to the hijackers and is tailing them. And supposedly, when other agents of the FBI tried to get close to these people, they would change their activities and phone lines. So, again, you know, you have this wide spectrum analysis, and when you look at the 9/11 Commission report, they say, no, you know, it was this independent group, Al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, 19 guys, box cutters. And that really does not fit with what happened that morning.
Jason Burmis, what's the evidence for Pakistan, potential complicity of Pakistan and Pakistan's intelligence agency, the ISI, in the attacks?
Well, you know, I think the ISI was actually used as a plausible deniability conduit to fund the hijackers. In other words, the ISI was really built up in the 80s by our CIA, and, you know, we've put puppet dictators into Pakistan, and we run that. So when we want to funnel money into these operatives, like Atta and others, we do so through the ISI. And General Mahmoud Ahmed, the head of the ISI, commissioned a wire transfer of $100,000 through, I believe, Omar Sheikh Syed, the same guy who supposedly murdered Daniel Pearl, just another whole fiasco, and according to Benazir Bhutto, assassinated Osama bin Laden as well, so that's a whole other can of worms. But he facilitated this $100,000 wire transfer to Atta days before the attack, or a day before the attack, and this would have been one-fifth of what the 9/11 Commission said 9/11 cost. Yet Pakistan has never been implicated. Now, in my film, I show you that the two guys that headed the initial investigation into 9/11, the congressional one, Porter Goss and Bob Graham, were actually having breakfast with this man in the United States, in D.C., on the morning of 9/11. And in the weeks before 9/11, he was meeting with people like Joe Biden, George Tenet, the head of the CIA, and the National Security Council. so what is going on here? And then, of course, nothing was done with this guy. He quietly retired, and this has been covered up. But, you know, Biden cops to it in my movie, you know, that he had met with him, and he was delivering a message. You know, he's a real tough guy. And then I actually have Bob Graham in my film also addressing the same issue, and I think I'm quoting him almost word for word here. He says, you know, General Mahmoud Ahmad didn't hide the fact that he was close to the Taliban and worked with them. So, you know, again, what's going on here?
Very good question. On the note of those interviews with Biden and Bob Graham and others, I note that you do use some of the footage from We Are Change in your movies. Can you talk about We Are Change?
Sure. You know, We Are Change was the logical next step in this movement, in my opinion. You know, I knew Lou Kradowski, who's the founder of We Are Change, prior to We Are Change when he was with New York 9/11 Truth. You know, we worked closely with him, you know, going down and doing events and stuff and going down to Ground Zero prior to the release of the second edition. And he was smart enough to really gear up into this worldwide movement where people decided to empower themselves and become the media and grab a camera and go ask the tough questions that the media refuses to. And it's through YouTube and Google Video that we're able to, you know, get hundreds of thousands of people, if not millions, to take a look at this stuff. I mean, a lot of people, you know, because I don't want McCain to think I'm leftist, or since I don't want Obama, they think I'm right-wing. But, you know, I'm voting Cynthia McKinney, the Green Party candidate. I mean, I'm voting for a black woman. So, to me, you have to shatter these paradigms by using the new media, and that's what We Are Change does. You know, from We Are Change Ireland to We Are Change New York to We Are Change California, you know, their footage is heavily featured in 9/11 Chronicles Truth Rising. But I was able to use a little bit of it in this picture, Bo Dietl, Joe Biden. I got that. Actually, the Bob Graham stuff is from Philly 9/11 Truth out of Philadelphia. And I just think it's great that all these organizations have stepped up, that politicians can no longer feel safe when they go to a college or an event to go speak without, you know, having their foot put to the fire. I mean, one of the greatest things I think I saw this year was when people went down and protested Bill Clinton on ABC. Well, he was on ABC News, and he had to admit to the fact that he went to the Bilderberg meeting. You know, this is something that his wife probably went to and denied to the student scholars of 9/11 Truth, another great organization, that she even knew what it was. You know, so we have to catch these people in their lives on camera, put them on the record as much as possible in order to awaken the masses.
Jason Burmis, if Fabled Enemy has one message or one point that you'd like to get across, what would that be?
I think the one message that I'd like to get across in Fabled Enemy is that, you know, right now what we are fighting is a fabled enemy, an enemy that can never be beat, an enemy that doesn't really exist, one which gives the government or the powers that be or the establishment carte blanche to almost do anything to us and our society, and that is extremely dangerous. And I think it's up to us to put down the remote control, to put down the iPhone, and hold these people accountable, to restore, not we need a restoration of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights in this country. We don't need a revolution. You know, we have to bring these people to justice, you know, through the law, through this country. I don't think an international tribunal is going to help us any. I think that would, you know, make us look even worse. I think that would be a tool to bring about world government. So the one thing that I really want to press to people is that we have to wake up to this fabled enemy, and we have to hold the real enemies accountable.
Well, let's talk about some solutions to these problems. You mentioned bringing people to justice. What is 9/11 justice, and how do you think we'll be able to achieve that?
Well, you know, in my little perfect world, I would like to give subpoena power to the families that initially started the 9/11 Commission. I mean, for those that don't know, it was over 400 days before the commission even started, and it was only because of the pressure of the Jersey Girls and others to get this commission going. So why don't we let them have subpoena power? They can call these people into an open forum that's covered by the national news, you know, whether it be C-SPAN or otherwise, it should be covered, you know, globally. And they ask them questions, and they have to be accountable for those actions. And when they lie, they have to be accountable and charged with perjury. And this isn't going to be just a big, you know, everybody's going to get pardoned fest. You know, we have to then show the world that we want to bring these people to justice, and then they should be punished accordingly. You know, that's what we really, really need to do in this country. And we need to repeal things like the Patriot Act 1, 2, Three is really here. We need to get rid of Homeland Security, and we have to restore personal freedom again and personal responsibility.
Of course, Fabled Enemies focuses quite heavily on the intelligence connections and the way that intelligence agencies were used to conduit agents and money for the attacks. What's your solution for the intelligence agencies themselves if we were ever to take over power and achieve 9/11 justice? What would be the future for a CIA or FBI?
Yeah, that's a really great question. Well, obviously, not everybody in the government is bad, and there are many good people within the CIA and the FBI, and I do see a need for an intelligence apparatus, the NSA, all that other stuff. But as to the future of that, well, first of all, they got to stop shipping in the drugs. I mean, that's the first thing I think you need to stop. You need to stop them from, engineering these worlds or wars in third world nations, and you have to truly make them a tool for United States nationalism and put them in our best interests rather than for the corporate and global elite and their corporate interests. And how are we going to do that? Well, that's a great question. You know, I am a small man. I am one person. I don't act like I have every single answer. But I think, first of all, let's get, all the minor drug offenders out of prison. You know, let's decriminalize marijuana. Let's, take away all these regulations, putting all these people into prisons. And that's gonna hurt them big time because they have a huge market, the CIA, elements within the FBI, for drug running, gambling, casinos. They extort a lot of money in that. So fix that problem, intelligence agencies. And then there's got to be some kind of a restructuring. We have to make things more transparent for the people. I mean, we still don't even know, how Kennedy was killed, not officially anyway. I mean, obviously there's been a lot of revelations in that. I really like JFK2, the Bush Connection by John Hankey. Alex Jones is working on a film. But, I think that people also have to, own up to the fact that they have to be ready for it. A lot of the things that come out are not going to be pretty. The horrors that we've done publicly now, in other countries that have come to light, such as, Gladio in Europe, or what we did to Mozambique in Iran, that stuff is just grueling. It's Nazi-esque. It's disgusting. So, I mean, it's tough. I think the first step is to educate people, bring these people into 9/11 justice. We have to severely restrict a lot of the organizations that have allowed this to occur. A lot of the bureaucracies need to shrink in size. And I think that the number one problem is that we still have special interests in politics. In other words, they can donate whatever money they want, and lobbyists can pay for their politicians. I think we need to make that illegal. I think that our politicians should have to live off the wages that we give them, and that way we take out the crooked business. And, regular people have to want to be involved in their communities. We have to take it back step by step, take a civil service test, become a city council member, become mayor of your town, start small and get big.
Okay, let's take a step back for a second. Of course, as I mentioned before, Loose Change was one of the most downloaded films in internet history and an incredible success for the 9/11 truth movement. And I'm sure there are some who think that perhaps your resources as a documentary filmmaker would have been best put to use concentrating on a subject that's more about today in 2008. Why do you think it's important to continue to press for 9/11 truth?
Well, because it's the foundational event of our entire foreign and domestic policy in this country, which really affects the entire world. And if people don't realize that, well, prior to 9/11, although we did have a presence in Iraq, we didn't carpet bomb the country and kill over a million people and have troops on the ground everywhere. Prior to 9/11, we didn't have control of Afghanistan's opium fields. Prior to 9/11, we didn't have quite the domestic police state we have here. We used to have, a Constitution and Bill of Rights, and that has been completely and totally eviscerated. Without 9/11, this foundational event, this society that we see today really doesn't exist. And if we can, open people's minds and ideas to that 9/11 was a lie, maybe they can realize that all these measures are not necessary. The terrorist boogeyman don't exist. We don't need Homeland Security. We do need to repeal the Patriot Act. We need to, hold big government accountable. We can no longer sit by and watch soap operas and WWF and our sports and let our government get out of control. So, you know, until we own up to 9/11, I don't think we're going to be able to own up to any of these other big global problems.
How has Fabled Enemies been received so far?
You know, pretty well. You know, I'm pretty happy with the reviews that I've gotten. It was just reviewed by Op-Ed News, and the gentleman was very favorable. He said that it was he enjoyed it more than the Loose Change series of films, which he really liked as well. And that's a huge compliment to me because I really love those movies, you know. I think all of them have a place in the 9/11 truth movement, and I think it's different strokes for different folks, you know. Some people are going to be more receptive to a Loose Change style picture. Others are going to be more receptive to Fabled Enemies and its information.
Jason Burmes, tell us once more about how people can get a hold of Fabled Enemies.
Sure. You can get Fabled Enemies over at Infowars.com, or you can go to FabledEnemies.com, and you can order a copy, make copies, hand them out. You can go to PrisonPlanet.tv and really get it in high quality ASAP. You don't even have to wait in the mail. The DivX looks super high quality. You can play it in a lot of DVD players now after you burn it to disc. So, you know, there's a lot of ways to get the film. And, of course, we give everything away for free. So if you want to just go to Google Video, type in Fabled Enemies, or just type it into Google itself, it'll come up and you can watch it free of charge.
Excellent. Well, last question, the inevitable question. What is Jason Burmes working on next?
Invisible Empire. It's going to be my film which really exposes the plan for global government, world domination, and the New World Order.
Excellent. Sounds like fascinating stuff, and I look forward to it. Jason Burmes, thank you very much for joining me today, and good luck with all your future work.
All right, thank you.